You're listening so to
a Mamma Mia podcast.
From Mamma Mia, hi, I'm Claire Murphy. Welcome to The Quickie, getting you up to speed daily. Who is Melania Trump?
It's my great pleasure to introduce my husband, the President of the United States, Donald Trump.
A lot's being said about her this week after the release of her former friend's memoir into their 15-year relationship, with claims she's not the unwilling first lady we're led to believe she is. From the Free Melania movement to the woman who allegedly controlled every angle of her husband's inauguration to block out his daughter Ivanka, we find out who the woman behind the president really is. The First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump, is often seen as an unwilling hostage to her husband's ambitions, regularly seeming to refuse his hand, her face changing from a smile to a grimace as soon as his back is turned. She's been the brunt of jokes that ask her to blink twice if she's being held captive, people even starting the Free Melania movement. There's also a persistent theory that she's often replaced at public events with a fake Melania, punters breaking down all the physical attributes of both the real and fake versions of the First Lady to try and determine which has appeared that day. Melania Trump is noticeably less of a public figure than her predecessor Michelle Obama, and she's had her fair share of controversy. We can't forget her trip to visit children who'd been separated from their parents and held in cages at the border of Mexico, wearing a jacket that had the words, "I don't care, do you," emblazoned on the back. But is she really an unwilling participant in Donald Trump's administration, or is she doing her work quietly behind the scenes where we don't see it, or is she something else altogether? Before we get into the allegations being made by Melania's former friend and author of the new book Melania and Me, let's take a look at pre-Donald Trump Melania. Melania Naves was born on April 26, 1970 in Sionica, Slovenia, which at the time was part of communist Yugoslavia. The population was less than 5,000 people, but if you go there now, it looks quite different because a lot of businesses have cashed in on their homegrown First Lady. Comedian Jim Jefferies visited back in 2017 to find out just how much Melania merch you can get your hands on.
How did you come up with the idea of Melania's soap? This is the Melania cake. This is white chocolate.
White because she goes to White House.
So everything's white. The Trumps would love this.
There was a jar of honey with her photo on it. They're selling pancakes, the Christmas tree in the Capitol.
Chocolate, salamis, hand cream.
Her father was a car dealer, her mother a children's clothing designer. She grew up with her younger sister, but found out later her dad had had another child from a previous relationship, her half-brother. In 1987, while sitting on a fence waiting for a friend to finish walking at a fashion show, Melania, then aged 16, was spotted by a Slovenian photographer. He described the moment saying she was tall, slender, attractive, with distinct eyes. But her career didn't immediately kick off, so she headed to university where she studied design and architecture. At 18, she signed on with a modelling agency, dropping out of her studies. After working for 4 years as a model, she came second in a Look of the Year contest, which put her on the map of the European modelling circuit. She worked the runways in Milan and Paris before moving to New York in 1996, shooting covers for the Bulgarian Harper's Bazaar and Italian Vanity Fair. She also famously posed nude for GQ magazine. She continued to work as a model while also educating herself on the job, learning to speak English, French, Serbian and German. Unlike her colleagues, though, she wasn't one to party. Friends saying she rarely went out to bars or clubs, preferring to stay at home or go to the movies or gym by herself. She also, according to sources, never dated anyone until she met Donald Trump. She's never commented on her husband's behaviour, not even when it was broadcast around the world that he could grab any woman he wanted, anywhere he wanted, because he was famous. After becoming the First Lady, she famously didn't move into the White House for 5 months, with rumours she didn't want to leave their New York home. She didn't comment on her husband's rumoured affair with porn star Stormy Daniels and doesn't weigh in on her husband's obsession with Twitter. But now, a lot of the things formerly kept under wraps by the very private Melania are being revealed in a book written by a woman she used to call her friend, Stephanie Winston Wolkoff.
What attracted me to Melania is her strength, her independence, her doesn't matter what anybody else thinks attitude. I mean, she told you on her jacket, "I don't care." She doesn't care what anyone thinks about her. That's true confidence. The day that the Access Hollywood tape came out, she had reached out to me to have lunch. Now, if any other human being or any other one of my friends, I would have expected to see them in tears, right? She was smiling. It was as if nothing happened. And I swear to you, I had like a glitch in my brain. Because I was like, is this really happening at this moment? Is it surreal that her husband just came out and said these horrible things? And I said to her, how many times have you heard the word and president in the same sentence? And we burst out laughing. But then I said to her, aren't you upset though? You know, and doesn't this get you angry that Donald would say something like this? Melania's a pragmatist. Melania always, you know, if you can't control people's emotions, then why even worry about it? And that's how she lived her life. Ivanka turned into a princess who wanted to be queen.
Operation Block Ivanka. Explain that.
When I spoke with Melania about the picture itself, we figured out how to make sure that Baron was in between Donald and Melania, and that to Melania's right would be Donald Jr., and that Ivanka would be next.
That's Stephanie talking to the US media about her new book. So how well does Winston Wolkoff know the First Lady? Matt Bevin is the host of the ABC's America If You're Listening podcast. Matt, what is Melania's relationship with the author of this new book? Is there some credibility in the things that she's alleging?
Well, I mean, if anybody was to know the inner workings of the First Lady's life, it would be Stephanie Winston-Wolkoff. She was a very long-term friend of Melania Trump from, you know, well before she was the First Lady. She's a, you know, New York socialite, event planner. She worked at Vogue. When Donald Trump was elected, she started running the inauguration. She was kind of part of the organizing committee for that. And then she started sort of working as an advisor to Melania Trump in the White House for some time until they had a falling out over her work on the inauguration.
Well, let's talk about the inauguration because that does feature a fair bit in this book. For starters, it's under investigation because it is the most expensive inauguration of all time by some ways. But why did Melania and Stephanie fall out over it? What's been the big issue with it?
The question that was immediately raised was how did it cost so much and where did the money come from and where did it go to? Essentially, the allegation was that they had basically used the fairly unregulated inauguration as kind of a way of building a giant slush fund. The point of it was to put on a fairly cheap inauguration, pretend it was expensive, and use that money to pay various people for various things. And basically, there was an investigation into it, into whether that was the case. And Stephanie Winston-Wolkoff, being one of the senior people involved, basically, the White House, she says, decided that she was going to be the scapegoat. They were going to say, look, we had nothing to do with anything dodgy here. It was all Stephanie. Go look at her. She immediately felt betrayed by, you know, her friend, Melania, started recording Melania, apparently, you know, secretly recording her, taking notes and handing everything that she had over to the investigators, basically trying to clear her own name and try and defer some of the blame for anything that went wrong with the inauguration onto the Trump family.
Still on that same event, I've been reading quite a bit about how it was organised and the fact that a lot of the emails that were sent back and forth from Melania in particular have not been done through public channels, so no one can ever see exactly what was discussed.
Yeah.
Isn't this exactly what they said Hillary Clinton had done wrong?
100%. Yes, it's exactly what they said Hillary Clinton had done wrong. So Hillary Clinton, essentially, the scandal around Hillary Clinton was that Hillary Clinton didn't really understand how to use emails. So she had a BlackBerry phone, and when she became the Secretary of State, she didn't want to use the government-issued phone. And so she basically set up an automatic forwarding of any emails sent to her State Department email address would be sent to her personal email so that she could read them on her BlackBerry. This was the attack that Donald Trump hit Hillary Clinton with over and over and over and over with in 2016. And then as soon as his family got into the White House, they started doing the exact same thing. Not just Melania, but also Ivanka Trump was using her private email server for, you know, government or government adjacent business. But of course, you know, there's different rules for the Trumps.
Speaking of Ivanka, She features quite prominently in this new book, especially her relationship with her stepmom, Melania. Do you think that there probably was a block Ivanka scheme going on during the inauguration that Melania didn't want Ivanka to take the limelight away from Donald during that moment?
Possibly. I mean, you look into any observation of the Trump family, and all of them are trying to manage their own press at the same time, even if it means other members of the family get thrown under the bus. You know, the classic thing is that, you know, for the first 2 years, basically, of the Trump presidency, Ivanka was working in the White House along with her husband, Jared Kushner. They're still there. But stories kept coming out over the first 2 years that, oh, Donald Trump almost did this terrible thing. But, you know, oh, thank goodness Ivanka and Jared were there to stop that terrible thing from happening. Of course, you know, the question, of course, is where did that story come from? It was, just to tell you a secret, it was Ivanka and Jared. Basically, they were calling up journalists in order to control their own press, even if it meant, you know, throwing their father under the bus. And Melania would be aware of this fact about her stepdaughter and is possibly trying to manage her own press as well and try and, you know, control her image. And it seems like she may have been involved in trying to, you know, control the way that the photos were taken during the inauguration.
There seems to be two different Melanias, or three if you count fake Melania. But there seems to be two in play here. There's the story that she's the unwilling first lady, that she didn't want to move into the White House initially because she didn't want to leave New York, that she didn't want Barron's life upended. But now we're hearing stories it was because she didn't want to move in and share the same bathroom that the Obamas used until it was fully renovated. And then there's this idea that she's some kind of hostage in the White House, that she really doesn't want to be there. But then there are allegations in this book that she's very carefully manipulating things behind the scenes, just in a very Melania-style way, in that she's just not a public kind of person. Where's the real Melania in all that?
There's very little evidence that Melania Trump is the sort of person that wouldn't have control over her life. She's a very capable and clever person who has apparently deliberately attached herself to this family, knowing who they are and what they stand for and all that sort of thing. And you've got to remember that during the 2011-ish birtherism scandal, where basically Donald Trump was accusing Barack Obama of faking his birth certificate and not actually being born in America, which would invalidate his right to be the president of the United States, Melania was all on board with this. She was right on board with this. She gave interviews in which she also espoused this incorrect conspiracy theory.
The theme we seem to be seeing with Melania is, despite having a very public role in a very public situation with a very public husband, she has been able to maintain her version of privacy. And with her email seemingly also not on the public record, despite it being the law, we may never really know how much of Melania is loving her first lady experience and how much she wishes to be back in her New York penthouse, living the life she's so carefully created for herself and her son. Unless you take the word of her former friend, Stephanie Winston Wolkoff.
I gave Melania the benefit of the doubt that she was my friend. She was different than Donald was. She was different than the other Trump children.
And so, now?
Oh, a Trump is a Trump is a Trump.
That's the quickie for today. This episode was produced by Melanie Tate with audio production by Jacob Round. For more episodes, you can head to mamamia.com.au/thequickie.
Mamma Mia acknowledges the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.